friends. Scripture reading for the morning is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 27. We continue our conversation from the Word, where the New Testament talks about being worthy. Several times Paul mentions live lives worthy, live lives worthy of your calling, live lives worthy of your Lord, live lives worthy of the gospel. Bear fruits worthy or in keeping with repentance, John the Baptist says. And we've been talking about how the gospel of Jesus Christ is not, hey, here's a list of things. Now make yourself worthy and maybe you'll get in. Becoming worthy is not about getting in. Our desire to become worthy or the words in the New Testament when it says, you know, live in a worthy manner, do these worthy things. It's not that we do to get saved. The gospel is that Jesus Christ, by his grace, makes you worthy. We are not worthy to receive you, O Lord, but simply say the word and we become so. Something like that. Grace of Jesus Christ makes us worthy. And now these words from the New Testament challenge us to endeavor to live a life that is in fact worthy of both what we have received and what we have promised when we became Christians. And so we pick up a story, the end of a story that really starts really all the way back in Acts 3. But just to give some background, first five, six chapters of Acts, just a lot going on. Jesus ascends into heaven after appearing again to the disciples. Chapter 2, Pentecost, which is coming up in 2 weeks. We celebrate Pentecost. Holy Spirit comes to the church, empowers the church to do its great work. And beginning in Acts 3, we have various disciples doing various things out in the world. There's a miracle. There's a man healed. And the leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, do not care for this. It brings attention to this Jesus that they have crucified not that long ago. And the disciples are preaching and they are doing great works in the name of this Jesus Christ. And in various places in Acts 3, 4, and 5, the disciples are reprimanded, thrown in jail, threatened with their lives. They are threatened by these people who just orchestrated weeks earlier the crucifixion of their Lord. And so we pick up the story in chapter 5, when in verse 27, where some of the disciples had been imprisoned and they have been brought kind of before the council to be reckoned with, you know, to be adjudicated. So in verse 27, we have the following words. And when they had brought them, these disciples, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you, we who run this place, we who have the power, both theologically and politically, we who have the power strictly charge you not to teach in this name of Jesus, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. And a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. And after him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them. I love that. I don't love that for them, but I just love, you know, how they had a good, they had a mad worked up. And Gamaliel talked them out of their mad. But they just couldn't quite let it go. So they beat them. They just like this three little words, they beat them. I don't know if you've ever done that. I think we've got our mad worked out and then, you know, we just can't quite let go of it. They beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, and here's the meat for today. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. The worthiness of being allowed to suffer. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is the Lord. That ends the reading of God's word for the morning. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we pray humbly that your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the recording of these words, that he would now be in our hearts and minds and souls. And he would teach us what these words have to say. And he would enable us to live in accordance with their teaching. We pray that you would focus us not on our flesh or this world, but upon your body and our place in your body and thus our work in this world. And we ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. They rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer for the name. It suggests that one of the things that's going on there, they rejoiced that there was enough evidence to convict them of being Christians. They rejoiced that this Jesus was so real and being shown in their lives that people knew who they were. And if they didn't like Jesus or didn't like his followers, they knew how to find them. And if they wanted to make them suffer or pay penalties for being followers of Jesus, they knew how to find them. When we keep talking about worthy, we see this concept of the connection of worthiness and suffering come up more than once in Philippians 1:27, which we've quoted, where Paul says, live a life worthy of the gospel and don't be intimidated by your opponents and be ready to suffer for his sake, verses 27 through 30 of Philippians 1. Or in Hebrews 11, where the writer of Hebrews is giving that great list of here's all the heroes and here's all the great people of faith and, you know, and here's all their victories. And as the writer is ending up that chapter, then he kind of switches to, and then there were people who didn't win. There were people who had their stuff taken away from them and were destitute and were reviled and mocked and killed. And he says, these were heroes of the faith. And then the writer goes on to say, of whom the world was not worthy. Or in 2 Thessalonians 1, where Paul says to the church, I'm proud for you enduring this suffering, which proves you are worthy of the kingdom of God. What in the world is going on here? And I would argue that what these New Testament writers are trying to get us to understand is that the willingness to suffer difficulty and the willingness to suffer loss shows that we have gotten a hold of something, or more importantly, something has gotten a hold of us to which we are committed and we find worth sticking with. I would argue that when the disciples say in Acts 5, we are rejoicing that we are considered worthy to suffer, we know what we have a hold of, we know what has a hold of us. We find it to be great. And if it costs us, that is fine with us. Because we have gotten a hold of something great. I would suggest that mothers, this is one of their projects. One of their projects is to train us that there are things worth sticking with when they are hard or looks like they won't work. Do your homework. Tell the truth. be the kind of person we're raising you to be, fight for the right, have integrity. And this is hard. This is all easy to do until it becomes hard. And then we find out if we're going to stick with it. And we're going to find if we find it worthy of suffering for. We are going to find out if it is real. I would argue that real life and real love is revealed in finding the thing or things that you are willing to suffer or be inconvenienced for. For example, I think of my mother and all of the ball games that she sat through, which she did not want to, in the heat of the day in Little League, in the loud gyms. She did not enjoy it. But she did like us. And she was committed to us. And she found this not only a worthy thing to do, but something that worthy mothers do. The kid, the sport, the job, the hobby, the thing that you are willing to stick with, even though it is hard on you, you suffer for it. To say, do I really love Jesus means at some point, if I have to suffer, I will. If it becomes hard, I will keep doing it. Through the rain, through the heat, through the money issues, through the moral challenges of being faithful, through the call to witness. When it's hard, we find out if we're committed to it. And if we have the confidence to keep doing it. If we have the confidence to believe in it. These early Christians, they're really quite something. They will get thrown in jail. They will be beaten. They have a confidence that this Jesus has made them somebody. The members of the early church, in large part, were a bunch of nobodies. But they said to themselves, the Lord of heaven and earth found us worthy to die for, and that makes us somebody. And we are not giving this up. We are not giving up this thing that makes us somebody. And it gave them this strange power. It made them not afraid. It made them not intimidated. It made them unsinkable. And at the same time, making them forgiving and generous and trusting and deep. Would you like some of that? Would you like to be like that? You're never, and I'm never going to be like that until we find this Lord. And find this difficulty worthy doing, because he's going to get us to where we want to be. But we have to get to a place where we find it. I'm glad, I will rejoice that I found something worthy to go through. This is worth the cost. And I believe that being the kind of person he wants me to be, each of us says, is worth it. Now, if we're going to take Acts in the New Testament seriously, we have to kind of see this, that being a Christian then was dangerous, literally quite dangerous. And then here's the other thing we have to do, because this is one of the things that I think we turn into a work to make ourselves good enough. We read these passages and we say, if you're going to be a real Christian, you're going to suffer, and you're going to have to suffer. And we say, honestly, most of the time, I read these stories and this is not my world. In this country, in Rowan County, in Iredell County. Nobody getting beaten for being a Christian. Nobody getting imprisoned for being a Christian. No leaders threatened for being a Christian. I think we have to watch. I want to watch. I think if a person wants to observe the scene in America and say, is it more complicated and more challenging to be a Christian in where we live now than it was 30 or 40, 50 years ago? Sure. Is the culture less accommodating to Christianity than it once was? Sure. I think one of the things we have to watch is kind of a little side note here. We have to kind of watch creating, well, if I'm going to be a real Christian, I have to suffer. So whatever the slightest slight that comes to us is like, look, we're suffering too. We don't have to make this stuff up. We don't have to make it up because we had to score points to be worthy enough to be Christians. Let's show, I would argue, let's have integrity for what they faced, what we faced, and let's do the following. Let's be ready if this kind of suffering comes to us. Because here's the deal. it's coming to Christians all over the world. It may one day come to us, and we will be ready. We tell these stories now to be ready and to pray for them and to support those who are facing such things and to practice with the real but lesser challenges that come to us. To the moral challenges. Here, when I'm a Christian, I've said I'm going to be this way. I'm going to make these promises. I'm going to keep these commitments. I'm going to be this way. And it is hard in the flesh in which we toil and the world in which we toil. Sometimes it's hard. And we will count ourselves, we will rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer these difficulties. Turning over a portion of our money, turning over a portion of our time, letting Jesus Christ rule all of our time. Striving to be the people of integrity that we are called to be, et cetera, et cetera. We read these passages, and I would suggest that they apply to us today in this culture, in this place. It is, how am I going to practice taking on the relatively smaller challenges that I might be faithful in the smaller challenges that if I ever have to face these bigger challenges, I will be ready. Jesus says, if you are not willing to take on these challenges for me, you don't really love me. Whatever the challenges that come to you are. Just like anyone else in your world will say, if you're not willing to take on challenges or difficult times for me, then you don't really love me. And I would suggest that the Christian knows how to love in all these ways, and we learn some reality of how to love Jesus Christ when we take the challenge on. It's like, hey, the people I love, they know I'm there for them when it becomes hard to love them, or that loving them creates new challenges or costs me something. We are ready to pay those costs. The Christian is challenged to embrace that when it comes to following Christ and not to whine about it. Because when you love people, when you love your people and you take on the challenges and then you whine about it, it really takes away from the love effect. There's not a lot of whining in the New Testament. Read the New Testament. There's not a lot of whining in the New Testament. And I would argue that here's why whining is unchristian in this regard. When I whine when it's difficult, when I whine that it's a challenge to be a Christian, here's what I'm really revealing about myself. I'm a consumer. I'm a consumer. And that when being a Christian is hard, it's like, oh gosh, I can't believe I got to do this, or I got to put up with this, or I got to forgive this way, or I got to fight this fight, or I got to deal with this. I thought this Christian thing was just going to add to me. When I whine or complain about the specific challenge of being a Christian, I'm revealing myself to be a consumer, not a servant, not someone who's all in. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name because it showed they weren't consumers. They were in, and that they got it. Because they found something that was worthy to suffer for. Now it is time to go back to the great cinematic decade of the 1990s. And I remember my dad. My dad saw every movie, I think, ever made from the invention of movies to 1970. And I would be like a little kid. And he would say, oh, we got to watch this movie. I said, well, how old is this movie? He said, so it's like it was made in the 40s. It's 30-some years old. I was like, I can't believe this. I'll never turn into this person. So it's 1926. And I'm going to quote a movie from 1992, which, if my math is correct, is roughly 34 years old. So I'm sure you've all seen it by now. And I'm going to quote from A Few Good Men. Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise. It's great. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil some part of it. It's your fault. It's been out for 34 years. And so the movie is fundamentally about Jack Nicholson is this kind of mean, high-ranking dude that orders some people to discipline this other Marine, and he ends up dying. The Marine ends up dying. So they're going to kind of cut loose the two younger Marines that did it to protect Jack Nicholson. And so they have the two young Marines, and they assign Tom Cruise, who's not a great lawyer. He's a great lawyer, but he doesn't want to be. And so he doesn't want to do the work. So they assign these two Marines to Tom Cruise, and they're going to give them this sweetheart plea deal to get out of their murder charge. And all they're going to have to do is spend 9 months, you know, in the stockade and then be discharged. And that's how you get off a murder charge. And Tom Cruise, as a lawyer, comes and explains to these two young Marines, these two incredibly committed Marines who believe in the project. He's going to come give them the sweetheart deal that spend 9 months in the stockade and then you'll be discharged. And the lead Marine says, of the two accused, says, "We are not taking the deal." He says, "Why in the world are you not taking the deal?" He said, and the Marine says, When we get through with serving our time, we'll be discharged, correct?" He goes, "Yes." He goes, "We don't want to be discharged." He says, "Because in the core, we found something. We found a way of living and a way of being and a way of valuing. We found something that we believe in and we want to stick with. And if we have to walk away from it, we will have lost something that we do not want to lose, and we will put our lives on the line because we have found something that we are worthy, willing to suffer for and that we want to stick with." And that is what a Christian is supposed to say when it's hard. To not take the easy path. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is you'll face. You have, you are, you will face. And who knows, it may escalate in your life. But what the Christian says when it gets hard is that in this Jesus Christ, we have found something that if we betray it or give it up or just give it short shrift, we will not be who we said we were going to be. We will not be who we want to be. And we will have lost something. And there is something more important than not having it easy, than not suffering. You and I live in a culture that doesn't know what to do with suffering or hard. Because you and I live in a culture, and you and I have been raised up in a flesh, and you and I have been raised up breathing the air of a culture that says, this is the life, and what you want is the life. That's how you get your life. And this is the life. And it's the only one you've got. And all suffering or difficulty does is get in the way of what you want to do and you being fulfilled. That is the world you live in. And that's the air you and I have been breathing since we got up. And the Christian says, because we saw Jesus Christ suffer for us, because he thought we were worthy. The Christian says there are things that are better than beating difficulty or not having to do that or being trusting and faithful through suffering that following this Jesus has brought us, and we're not giving it up because in this Jesus we have found the real life and we have found the real hope and we have found purpose and we have found meaning and we have found why we were created. And we look and we see the Lord of heaven and earth. And we see that he loves us. And we see that he thought we were worth suffering for. And we say, we committed to him. And we will see it through. Whatever it is. And we will be honored. Until we can rejoice, we will at least be honored that we were found worthy to take on the challenges to stay faithful. And we will be glad he called us. And in this life, and when we face him, we will be glad that we did. This is not easy, but this is the real thing. And we've been looking for the real thing. We've been looking for real love. We've been looking for the real thing. And this Jesus came and got us, and he is the real thing. Give him what you got. He will use it and multiply it, and you will be glad you did. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, Father, then please the preaching of your word with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And where, because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in the preaching, cause that error to be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But if because of your grace alone, there may have been some truth in the preaching, cause that truth to be burned into our hearts and minds and souls, that your truth might lead us in the everlasting way. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.